Bezras Hashem Yisbarech. Today's daf is daf Gimel in Maseches Shabbos, the 65th daf in Shas. We pick up two lines from the top. In yesterday's daf, what we had seen was that if an individual does an Akira and a Hanacha, that is the Isser de Oraisa of Shabbos, which means if an individual picks something up in one Rishus and places it down, if he's going from a Rishus HaYochid to a Rishus HaRabim, or a Rishus HaRabim to a Rishus HaYochid, that is the Yisur D'Oraisa. What happens if the individual does an Akira and not a Hanacha? That was the Shehein Arba of the Mishnah. Yitzias HaShabbos, Shtayim. There are two cases where an Ani will be Chayiv, an Yisur D'Oraisa. Either he takes something in entirely on his own by doing both Akira and Hanacha, or vice versa. However, Arba, there are cases where it's going to be Potter Avalasa, where he did only the Akira and not the Anocha. Now, in the case where the Ani did nothing, the Balabayas took it from the Ani's hand and placed it down, so then in such a case, the Gemara described in the top line in Gimel Amud Aleph that will qualify as Potter Umutter. Asks the Gemara, Miika Bekule Shabbos Potter Umutter? Is there such a concept of Potter Umutter in Kol HaTorah Kula? In Shabbos particularly? Va'amar Shmuel, Kol Pturi de Shabbos Potter Aval Aser. Didn't Shmuel teach that there are three things on Shabbos that are Potter Aval Aser? Potter Aval Mutter. And all other things, if we use the expression Potter, that means Potter Aval Aser. And we're going to see that in that list of three things, which we will explain, Akira without Ahanacha, Ahanacha without Akira is not mentioned. So the Gemara asks, Mika Bekuli Shabbos Potter Mutter, Va'amar Shmuel Din Shmuel teach, Kol Pturei de Shabbos Potter Aval Aser. Shmuel taught that when it comes to Isurei Shabbos, the halacha is that one is Potter Aval Aser, Bar Mahani Tlas, with the exception of three things, the Potter Mutter. What are those three things? Tzedas Tzvi, trapping a deer, Vetzedas Nachash, trapping a snake, Umapis Mursa, and busting a pimple. So then we learned that those three things, which we shall explain, the halacha is that there it's pater mutter. All other things are pater avalasar. So if akira vahanacha is pater, then it should be pater avalasar, not pater avalmutter, even if the ani did neither akira nor hanacha. Answers the Gemara, ki yitzrich leshmol pture de ka'avid maisa. When did Shmuel say that you'll never have potter and mutter except for these three cases when you did a maisa? However, here he didn't do a maisa at all. Let's say it's the balabais who did the akira and the anacha. In such a case, then that's the instance here, and Shmuel wasn't talking about it. Explains the Gemara, Pture de lokav a maisa ikotuva. There are many instances where he's potter where he didn't do a maisa. The case of Tzedas Tzvi is a Gemara further on in Kuf Vav Amabez, where someone has already blocked the door, and you come along and double the block, but your sitting there is not necessary. Then if that person walks away, in such a case, that is mutter. The case of Tzedas Nachash is an instance where one traps a nachash that could bite. According to the Mandamar, which we will discuss in detail further on in our Masechta, the Melacha Shein Tzricha Gufa is Potter, because there's also Hezek, it goes down from being Potter Aval Aser Midrabanan to Mutter. And finally, the case of Mapis Mursa is an instance where a person is just trying to get out the pus from a pimple. Tosis adds, if he wants to make the hole, it would be an Iser D'Oraisa, D'Ramaschel Mapis. But since he only wants to remove the pus, it's a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. It's a little bit harder to explain why mapis morsa would then become mutter. At least when it comes to nachash, there's a reason to be matir, the Isidur Rabbanim, because of Hezek. When it comes to mapis morsa, it's harder to understand. Reb Chaim in his Sefer suggests that the heterim of the above, according to the Shita of Shmuel, is based on the opinion of the Aruch that when you have a psik resha delo nichale, the halacha is that it is mutter. And since in no way is he interested in getting the snake, in no way is he interested in getting out the pus, he just doesn't want the pus there. Reb Chaim argues that's a psik resha lo nichale. It's a beautiful Reb Chaim, a complex Reb Chaim. For our purposes, let's explain Tzedas Tzvi, as we did before, that he really didn't do the act of trapping. Tzedas Nachash because of Hezek. Mapis Mursa, we leave off for Bezer Hashem, when we learn the Sugyas B'iyun. And we give a reference to Reb Chaim Sefer. The Gemara now returns to a question that the Gemara had alluded to already yesterday. Eight lines from the top. Mikol Mokom Tarti Sri Havyan. The Mishnah had said Shtaim Shein Arba, Shtaim Shein Arba, which gave us a total of eight. Asks the Gemara, there are really 12 cases. It's not really Shtaim Shein Arba, but it's really Shtaim Shein Shesh. What do we mean by that? We have another four cases of Ptur by an Ani, and another four cases of Ptur that applies to an Ashir. We have two cases where an Ani does an Akira without a Hanacha. If the Ani picks something up, and then the Balabayas takes it from his hand when it's put in his Rishus, or the Ani takes it from the outside, brings it into the inside, but the Balabayas takes it from his hand, then in such a case, in both instances, there the Ani did Akira without the Balabayas Hanacha. And that this appears both as well by the Balabayas when it comes to his Akira, as well as the Balabayas when it comes to his Hanacha, we could have two cases, as well as the Ani when it comes to his Hanachos. That means that you come up with a total of eight. 8 plus 4 is 12. So we would have two instances where an Ani is chayiv, where he does everything. We have two instances where the Balabayas is chayiv, where he does everything, which is four, plus eight instances where they share the malacha, and each one of them was Pater Aval Aser. Asks the Gemara, Mikol Mokom Tarti Srin Havyan. Answers the Gemara, Ptura de Asabu Lidei Chiv Chattas Kachoshiv. De Lo Asabu Lidei Chiv Chattas Lo Kachoshiv. Gemara answers, we only take into account those things that are Pater Aval Aser, which started with an Akira. But the Hanachos, where a person did the Hanacha, anyhow, he could never have been Chayiv, because someone else did the Akira. Hence, we don't take every permutation. We only count the permutation where you did the Akira and someone else did the Hanacha. So we count that as one for you. For if you're the Ani and the Balabayas did the Hanacha, it doesn't even count as one. Asks the Gemara a totally new question. Shnei Pturim, both of them are Potter. But if you combine both of their actions, both of them did a Malacha. Tanya, Rabbi Yoim, Me'amaretz Basosa. We learn Gzeres HaKosov, that the Torah tells us in Vayikra Dalid, in the parasha of Chatas, the Torah describes Ve'im Nefesh Achas Techto Vishkoga Me'am Oretz Ba'asosa. When he does, if he does an Avera B'Shogi, he's Chayv to bring a Chatas, Ba'asosa, when he does Achas Mitzvos Hashem. Chazal Darshin, Ha'osa Ba'asosa, Osa Eskula V'lo Osa Esmiktsasa. The only time there's a Chiv Chatas is if you do the whole Malacha by itself. Yachid v'asa osa chayiv, if it's an individual who does it by himself, he's chayiv. Shnaim, if there's two, what we call shnaim shosuhu, v'asu osa pturim. The halacha is that he's potter. So that's why, if the Baal Bais does the Akira, and the Ani does the Anacha, they're potter. It marnami amr b'chia b'gabda nizrika mipiachabura, v'amr v'asosa yachid sha'asa chayiv, shnaim shosuhu pturim. This is an important rule. When two people do a malacha, then they are potter. The Gemara now, five lines from the bottom, begins to get into the lamdus of how an Akira works. Boi mine Rav me Rebbe. Rav asked the following shaila from Rebbe. Hitinu chavero ochlin umashkan. Someone piled up his friend with food and drink. Vahotzion lechutz. He put it in his backpack, let's say, on his back. Mal, what's the halacha? Akira's gufo ka akira's chayfetz mkomo dami. Do we say that Shimon, who was loaded up by Reuven, first was idle, then he stood up, he walked outside, he went into a different Rishus. Let's say he was sitting in Rishus Yachid, and then he went into Rishus Harabim. And then he sat down in the Rishus Harabim. So then he did Akira Anachu Mechayiv Odil Malo. Or do we say for some reason that it is different? It's not a classic Akira and Hanacha. The Gemara in a moment will explain why it's not a classic Akira and Hanacha. We find that moving a hand from place to place, that if a Ani has something placed in his hand, and then he moves it into a Rishus HaYachid and puts it down, he's not Chayiv. He had to have done the Akira with his hand. In this case, the individual got up. Is that different than the hand, or it's like a hand? Amar Le Chayiv. He responded, Rebbe responded, he is chayiv, ve'ena doma liyado. And it's not comparable to the hand of an Ani who had something put inside of it by the Baal HaBayis and then moved it into a Rishus HaRabim, where he is potter. My taima, why is that so? Gufo nayich yado lo nayich. A hand is always in motion. Since a hand is always in motion, in such a case, we don't view the yad as ever considered have rested in one place. If that's so, simply because the hand of the Ani was in the Rishus HaYachid, we don't consider it resting in the Rishus HaYachid that when he moved it, he did not Kira. In contrast to the body is considered resting when it was in the Rishus HaYachid, and if it got up and moved into Rishus HaRabim, it did an Akira and a Hanocha. Be'ezras Hashem Yisparach, we continued on the top of Gimel Amud Beis. If you hear some music in the background, Baruch Hashem, I'm recording this on the first night of Chol HaMoed Sukkos, and there is simcha in the air. The Gemara continues on Gimel Amud Beis. Amar le Rabbi Chiya le Rav. Rabbi Chiya said to Rav, Rabbi had been asked by Rav about Akira and Anocha. Rabbi Chiya was critical to Rav, because he felt that Rav shouldn't have asked Rebbe the Shaila when he wasn't in the sugya. Bar Pachti is a bonus. We've had that expression in Maseches Brachos. Madaf Yugimel Amud Beis. And that means Ben Gedolim, the son of Gedolim. Lo Amin Alecha, did I not tell you, warned Rebbe Chiya to Rav? Ki koi Rebbe behind Masechta, and Rebbe is learning one Masechta, loy tishayli be Masechta achrita. Don't ask him in another Masechta. Dilma lavata lavadatoi. Maybe he won't be able to answer. The lav the Rebbe gav rabbu. If not for the fact that Rebbe was a great person, kisafte, you would have embarrassed him. Even if he was a Talmud Chacham, if he wasn't a great Talmud Chacham, then you would have embarrassed him. The mishanah lechosh shnuyah, the lav shnuyah, because he would have given you an answer that wasn't correct. Hashdami a shaper mishanah lechosh, but here he nevertheless got it right because he's a gav rabbu. The sanya, as we learned in a brisa. Here, Rebbe had taught us, consistent with the Braisa, that Akira and Hanocha Vaguf is considered a significant Akira in contrast to a hand. As we learned in the Braisa, if a person was carrying Ochlan Moshkin during the day, he's going to be Chayiv. He did the Akira in the Rishus HaYachid, and then he went into the Rishus HaRabim, he did Otsah, because it's not considered like a hand, where we don't consider it a hand resting. However, the guf can be considered something that rests. Gemara continues by the two dots. Amar Abaye, Abaye, buttresses. The point that the Gemara had said early. Shita li, it's partial to me. Yado shaladim ena loki rishus harabim, veloki rishus hayachid. The hand of a person is neither like a rishus harabim nor like a rishus hayachid. Kirishus harabim lo damya. Even when it's sitting in the rishus harabim, it's not considered as if it rested in the rishus harabim. Miyado da ani. We learn that from the case of an ani. Rashi explains that in the case in which the ani takes an object in the rishus harabim and moves it through his hand and puts his hand in the Rishus HaYachid, but the Baal Bais takes it out of hand, so in such a case he's Potter. If we consider Yado Shel Adam Ki Rishus HaRabim, that simply by being in the Rishus HaRabim is considered resting there, so then in such a case he should be Chayiv. Ki Rishus HaYachid Lo Damya Mi Yado De Baal Bais. We learn out that the hand, if it's located in the Rishus HaYachid, is not necessarily Rishus HaYachid, from the case in which the Baal HaBayis stretches his hand into the Rishus HaRabim, but if the Ani takes it out, so then the Baal HaBayis is not Chayiv, and we say the Hanocha was done by the Ani and not the Baal HaBayis. Abaye continues with another Shaila. Rashi explains that Abaye's Shaila that he's about to introduce follows on the heels of the previous statement that a hand is not considered resting in the domain that is found. Based on this, asks Abaye. Boy Abaye, Yodo Shalada Mao Shetasu Karmelis. Abaye asks, do we consider a person's hand a Karmelis? Now that we say that a person's hand is not considered part of the Rishus HaRabim, so what happens if I stick my hand out from my house into a Rishus HaRabim? Am I allowed to take the hand back in? Or do we say that Chazal turned it into a Karmelis and treated the hand as an area that is aser midrabanan to move from one place to the next. There are four basic rishuyos for Shabbos. Rishus harabim, rishus hayachah, we've been introduced to. Carmelis is an area which is aser midrabanan to carry. And the fourth is a makom p'tur, where it's not considered an iser at all to carry. The Gemara Shaila Ma'usha Ta'asa Kikarmelis is, do we consider the hand, did the Rabbanan turn it into a Karmelis, that if you stick your hand out, they would give you a knas that you can't put it, bring it back. Mikatsu Rabban La'aduri L'gabe, the Rabbanan created a knas that you can't bring it back, oh lo, or not. Tashma, come in here, I will bring you a proof. Ha'isi Yada Malaya Peros. If his hand was full of peros, Votziu L'chutz, and he stuck it out into Rishus Harabim. Tani Chada also has here one sheet was that it's prohibited to return his bring his hand back in. V'tanya Yidach Mutalachzer, one opinion was that it's permissible. Ma'ala Balkam Ifli, he says, maybe what the machlokas behind them is the following. The Marisavik at Karmelis Damya, the one who says you can't bring it in holds that we consider like a Karmelis. Umarisavar Lavka Karmelis Damya, and the other Mandomer says we do not consider it a Karmelis. Says Gemara Lo. Everybody says that it's considered like a karmelis. The loy kasha, and there's no contradiction. Kan lamata me'asara, kan lamala me'asara. There is another important distinction in halacha, and that is under 10 tefachim is considered part of the Rishus HaRabim. Above 10 tefachim is this fourth category that we described before, and that is the area of a makom p'tur. Hence, the Gemara is answering the following. Everybody holds that a hand moved into another Rishus, even though it's not considered resting in that Rishus, and not considered part of that Rishus, is an Iser Midrabanan to move it back. However, that Iser only applies less than 10 Tfachim from the ground. Above 10 Tfachim is considered an area of Makom Ptur. Viba Yisema, if you want, the Gemara says, I can give you another answer. Idi v'idi l'matal me'asara. We could say that in both places it's less than 10. V'lav k'karmelis damya. And it's not considered a karmelis. In other words, Chazal did not make a knas. When did Chazal not make the knas? V'lo kasha. Kam ebod yom kam mishecha shecha. Mebod yom lo kansu rabbonon. When, if the person stuck his hand out when it was still daytime, so then in such a case, Chazal didn't make the knas. Mishachashecha, but if it's already dark, Kansua Rabbanan, the Rabbanan did make the knas. Asks the Gemara, Adarabba, the opposite is true. Ipcha mistabra. Be'od yom di'isha dilei lo asadechi of chatos liknesu Rabbanan. When it comes to an individual that stuck out his hand when it was still day, and therefore he'll never come lidechi of chatos because the akira was done during the day. In such a case, then Chazal should give him a knas. The word di'ishadilei means that if he throws it. Rashi explains that we're afraid that if the individual is going to have to leave his hand sitting out where it was stretched out the whole Shabbos, then there's a likelihood, a significant likelihood, that he's going to either drop it or throw it away. Says the Gemara, a brilliant question. If he is fined for when he stuck his hand out on Erev Shabbos, then worse comes to worse, even if he throws it down where he stuck it out to bring his hand back in and to do other things, he will only come to an Iser Derabbanan because the Akira was done on Erev Shabbos. However, when it comes to when he stuck his hand out on Chashecha, where he had done the Akira already when it was dark, and then he stuck his hand out, and if he's got to leave it there, if he throws it down, then he'll come to an Iser D'oraisa, Chiyuv Chatos, of Akira and Hanocha. So that's the Gemara's question. Adraba, Ipcha Mistar, when it's day, Di'ishadi Le'lo Asli Dei Chiyuv Chatos, if he throws away, he won't come to a Chiyuv Chatos. Liknesu Rabbanon, so then in such a case, let the Rabbanon give the Knas. Mishecha Sheicha, however, when it happens, when it's dark, Di'ishadi Le'i, Asu Behu Lidei Chiyuv Chatos, Lo Liknesu Rabbanon. The fact that we did not give this answer and differentiate in that manner and be concerned about what would halacha be if he throws it down Tivshot to Rabbi Barabaye. We will now go to a shaila of Rabbi Barabaye and infer the answer to the question based on the above phenomenon that we did not take into account whether the person is going to throw the object down. Rabbi Barabaye asks the following question. Hidbik pas betanu. If someone attached bread to an oven, hitiru lo l'radosa konim shiavol dechiv chatos o lo hitiru. Did they allow him to take down the bread before he comes to an chiyuv chatas, or did they not permit it? Tivshot lo hitiru. Let us be poshet that they didn't allow it. Of course, the potential isser that's at stake is an individual who, by mistake, had forgotten that it was Shabbos, and he realized that he had just begun baking bread. If he takes the bread out, he'll be over an Isser Dirabanan, which will prevent him from coming to an Isser Doraisa. Just like we see, we're not concerned that a person is going to come to an Isser Doraisa, and we still created an Isser Dirabanan. So too over here, we don't tell the person to violate the Isser Dirabanan in order to prevent him from being over the Isser Doraisa by removing the bread beforehand. Viba Yisema, says the Gemara, no, maybe it's not a proof. La'olam lo tivshot. Maybe you can't be poshet the shayla, you can't solve it. Why is it that when it comes to the potential Isser Doraisa, we don't remedy it by telling the person to be able to bring in his hand? V'lo kasha, kan b'shogeg, kan b'mezid. In one case, we're dealing with a shogeg, the other a mezid. B'shogeg, lo kansu rabbanan. When it comes to the shogeg, the individual that forgot that it was Shabbos, so then, in such a case, rabbanan don't say, leave the bread in until it bakes. Then, maybe they would say, take it out. B'mezid, kansu rabbanan. But in the case of where he violated it, b'mezid, where he put his hand out when he knew he wasn't supposed to, in such a case, the rabbanan would say, leave it out, and we're not going to worry about this guy, that he might come to an Isser D'oraisa. V'ba yisema idiv idiv b'shogeg. Or else you could say that both cases were shogeg, and nevertheless, there is a difference between the two cases, because another difference of the opinion. V'hacha b'kantzu shogeg atu mezid kamiflugi. There's a machlokis over here in regards to whether we create a knas. One braisa said that you have to leave your hand out, one braisa said that you don't, are arguing about the following issue. Mar savar kantzu shogeg atu mezid. One man, the Omer, says that we give a knas for someone who does something b'shogeg, lest they come to do it b'mezid. Umar savar lo kansu shogeg atu mezid. And the other man, the Omer, holds we don't create a knas of shogeg atu mezid. Rashi explains, therefore, that you can't infer any halacha in regards to Radias Hapas. Radias Hapas is a very different case, because if you're not going to let him take it out, so then in such a case he'll come to an Easter. So it's a totally different instance. Or you could say that really everybody holds that we do not make a knas of shogeg atu mezid, which is actually a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda in Erevin, Samaches, and Gittel Nun Gimel Mabez. V'lo kasha, and there's still no stira between the two brises. Kan lo'ois l'chotzer, kan l'chotzer acheres. We're talking about a case that he's allowed to return his hand when he stuck his hand out into his own chotzer, but to another chotzer that he would not allow to stretch his hand into. Kediboy mine Rava Mirav Nachman, as Rav had asked of Rav Nachman, Haisi Yadoy Malaya Peris, if his hand is full of fruits, Vaitsiya Lechutz, Ma'ala Hatzelos a chotzer, if he sticks it out to its own chotzer, is it permissible? Amalei Mutter. Lechotzer Cheres Ma'u, Amalei Asur. He also made this distinction. Umayshna, and what's the difference? What is the difference, they asked Rav Nachman? Rav Nachman responded tongue-in-cheek. L'chitoichol ala kura de milcha. According to one understanding, it is when you measure out a core of salt. According to another explanation, Rashi, it means when you eat a core of salt. According to the first pshat, what it means is an expression. When you measure out a core of salt, then I'll explain to you. Or the second pshat is, you, even if you eat a core of salt, you still will not be able to compare the two cases. The first one being an expression, oh, I'll explain to you. The second one being that it's so obvious the difference, even if you ate a core of salt, you won't be able to explain. Hasam lois avida machshavto. In the case of where we don't make the knas, that's where his intention was not fulfilled because it wasn't even stuck into another chatzer. Hacha is avida machshavto. However, when he had accomplished something because his hand had actually gone into another rishus, in such a case, we create the knas. There, if it's azvida machshavta, then in such a case we're afraid. Another instance, he'll end up throwing it into rishus. A rabbi Rashi says, and for that reason, we give him a knas. This Bezer Hashem concludes the Gemara Rashi component on Daf Gimel Maseches Shabbos. And now we go on to the halacha. Our first halacha lemaisa topic from Daf Gimel, which in truth is really our first practical discussion of Hotzah for Hilchos Shabbos in our Masechta, revolves around Abaye Shaila on Gimel Amabez. Baye discusses if an individual stretches his hand outside, is there a prohibition for him to bring his hand back? The crux of Abaye's question revolves, and we're going to frame things, of course, because this is halacha from the perspective in Shulchan Aruch, that in Simen Shin Mem Zayin, as well as we had seen already in the beginning of the Masechta, that it's prohibited midrabanan for a person to do an akira without a hanacha. In other words, it's prohibited for a person to, even if he's not going to put the object down in the Rishus HaRabim, to pick an object up in the Rishus HaYachid and send it in the direction of Rishus HaRabim, even if he doesn't put it down. The example of the Mishnah was the Baal Bayis who picks something up in his house, and the Ani takes it from his hand. After he moved his hand into the Rishus HaRabim, the Baal Bayis was over in Isser Durabanan. Abaye's Shaila is, now that he's been over in Isser Durabanan, did Chazal create a knas and say that you have to leave your hand standing there? If you recall, through the Gemara, we went back and forth on the Shaila, and now we will see how we paskin in Shulchan Aruch. In Simen Shin Mem Ches, the Mechaber writes, Hayomid Birshus HaYachid, Vahotzi Yodo Malei Peros, Lirishus HaRabim, Bisoch Asara, Bishogeg, So the Shulchan Aruch describes an individual is inside a house. He sticks his hand full of fruits outside into Rishus HaRabim. In the Shulchan Aruch, he talks about a case where it's only within 10 tfachim of the ground. The title of this halacha is someone who stuck his hand out a window. I'm not familiar with many windows that are within 10 tfachim. Most windows are above 10. But let's start first with explaining the Pesach in the Shulchan Aruch. And that is that if it's below 10, if he did it b'shogeg, it's permissible for him to return it to that chotzer, to that place where he was. The Gemara tells us that it's prohibited v'asa l'ashita l'chotzer acheres, as the Shulchan Aruch says, because niskayim machshav, that's how we concluded the daf, that he's gotten something out of it, he gained something, he was able to put it in a different chotzer, hence that is prohibited. So halacha number one, if he sticks his hand out under 10 tfachim, which is the Rishus HaRabim Mamish, and it's not the Mokum Ptur, in such a case, the halacha is that it is permissible to bring his hand back into the same place that he stuck his hand into. V'im b'mezid, but if he does it b'mezid, halacha number two, asar afil la'achzir la'osa chatzer, then he has to leave his hand standing there the whole Shabbos, because there's a knas midrabanan that he put his hand out there. However, the Shulchan Aruch, we're going to see in contrast to the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, but the Shulchan Aruch paskins that if it took place on Shabbos itself, even if he did it b'mezid, we're still going to allow to bring him his hand back in. V'yesh omrim dahani milik yeshotziyim mibod yom. If he swung his hand out there during the daytime, so then in such a case, worse comes to worse, even if he drops the object, he'll only be over in Isser D'Rabbanan. This svara of the V'yesh omrim we already found in the Gemara itself. However, if he put his hand outside b'mezid, we allow him to bring it back because we're playing with fire now. Shema yashlicha miyado v'yavo lidechi evchatas. If he lets the object go, he'll come to an iser d'oraisa. So now we've learned three halachos. Number one, someone who puts his hand out b'shogeg under 10 into a shus harabim can bring his hand back into the same place, not into another chatzar. Number two, if he did it b'mezid, the halacha is that he cannot bring his hand back because Chazal made a knas. Number three, however, if he did it when it was already night, that means he did the akira, and if he would drop it now, it would then be an issur d'oraisa because of that chash. Even when it's amazed, we allow him to bring his hand back in. However, as in case number two, he would not be allowed to bring it in if he stuck his hand out when it was day. Finally, halacha number four, Bamedvar Mamurim concludes the Mechaber in Shin Memches, Kisho Tzil L'Rishus HaRabim. That only applies when he stuck his hand out to Rishus HaRabim, Avol Motzil L'Karmelis, but if he stuck it out to a Karmelis, that's an area where carrying is only Yosem Midrabanan, B'chol Gavna Mutar L'Achzira. So we have here the four halachos in the Shulchan Aruch. We need to make a couple of points about these four halachos. Firstly, how do we paskin in regards to this point number three, this Yesha Omrim that's worried about the fact that you might come to an Isser D'Oraisa if you stuck your hand out after dark, and therefore you're allowed to bring your hand in? The Mishnah Brura in Sif Katan Ches quotes the El Yerabah that says that many poskim are makel like this Yesh Omrim, even though we have a rule in the Mechaber, Stam v'Yesh Omer Halacha Kistam, nevertheless, here the Elu Rabbah and the Mishnah Brura seem to come out Lekula. It should be pointed out, though, that the Shulchan Aruch HaRav does not accept this, and therefore, those who follow the Mishnah Brura, when someone stuck out his hand, b'mezid, then if it was Micha Shecha Shecha, he could pull it back. Of course, everybody agrees b'shogeg, he could pull it back. However, according to Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the fellow is stuck. Number two, and this is an even more practical point. What's the halacha in regards to someone sticking their hand out of a window? Is it mutter? Is it aser? Do they have to keep their hand there the entire Shabbos, or may they move their hand back? So in the Shulchan Aruch, as we pointed out, reading carefully, the Mechaber Paskins, like the opinion of Tosos that we have in Dibra Maskel, Kan Lamala Me'asara, where Tosos says that the whole discussion over here is only less than 10 Tfachim. If it's more than 10 Tfachim, so then the area that the person is sticking his hand out to is a Makom Ptur. Therefore, most porches, most windows are above 10 tfachim from the ground, and according to the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch, all of these halachos would not apply. One, whether shogeg, whether mezid, would be able to pull back. However, the Be'er Halacha points out that the Rajba disagrees with Tosos, and he says it's aser lest a person bring his hand, we're afraid. If we're going to allow people to put their hands out above 10 tfachim, so then they'll come to less than 10 tfachim as well. The Be'er Halacha, Moran HaChavetz Chaim, points out that this is not only Shita of the Rajba, it's a Shita of the Me'iri. The Prima Gadin proves it from the Rashi, and he says, the Be'er Halacha says, he doesn't know why the Prima Gadin didn't point out it was also the Shita of the Rajba. Hence, bottom line, L'chatchila, one should be Choshesh for this position as well, that even above 10 amos, 10 tfachim, excuse me, one should not stick one's hand outside of the window into a Rishus HaRabim, as well as I was presumed, according to the Rajba Karmelis, even though there's no Gzeira, lest he come to stick his hand out less than 10 tfachim. The Dirshu Mishnah Brura, they point out very sharply, just one interesting nafkamina, that according to the Rajba, there would be no problem of sticking one's hand out and catching water, let's say rainwater, or something that was falling down, and bringing it in, because the whole chash over there is, according to the Rajba, that you might end up taking your object from the Rishus HaYachid and putting it within 10 tfachim to a Rishus HaRabim, which would be an Isur Derabbanan. But if you're not taking something from inside and putting it outside, but catching something from the outside, then they claim, according to the Rajba, above 10 Tfachim would not be a problem, because it's only a Gzeira Atu 10 Tfachim. However, bottom line is, we're not talking about a strange case like catching something outside, but rather what we would be talking about is someone moving his hand from inside the house, outside the window. L'chatchila, one should not do it even above 10 Tfachim. However, the simple reading, according to the Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah and Tosfos, is that it would not be a problem. This concludes Halacha topic number 1 from Daf Gimel. Our second topic from Daf Gimel is what the Gemara describes on the top of Gimel Amud Beis, that Rabbi Chiya gave Musar to Rav for asking Rebbe a shayla on a masechta that he wasn't learning. What are the parameters of this? When is a person allowed to ask a Rav a shayla about the masechta that he's not learning? Don't we do that all the time? Don't we ask shaylas about an inyan in halacha to a Rav even if he's not learning that masechta? What are the parameters of the din? In Shulchan Aruch and Simen Reish Mem Vav Sif Yud Beis, this is brought down. Ein Sholin Es Harav Mi Inyan Acher Elo Me Oise Inyan Sheim Oiskim Boy Kidei Shalos Yizvayish, in order that he not be embarrassed. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank in his Shalos Hatshuvos Arachayim Chelik Beis Simen Yud Aleph, who was one of the great poskim here in Artsenu Hakdosha, and he was well known to be a responder to all shailas at all times, points out that the lashon in our Gemara and in the Shulchan Aruch is in order that he should not be embarrassed. As for Tzvi Pesach Frank, what about the fact that the halacha is going to come out wrong? In our case, it was a shaila of Shabbos. What about the chilul Shabbos that's going to emerge? Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank buttresses his questions by asking a very subtle question in Pshat and Rashi, a question that normally is devoted to Iyun Seder, but Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank uses it for Lahalacha. And that is that Rashi, on the top of our Amud, says, Kloimar, as if to say, She'ein libo l'masechta zu, Shema Yizbayish. Those who are students of Rashi know that every time Rashi uses the word Kloimar, Rashi is coming to add something. As for Tzvi Pesach Frank, he's repeating what the Gemara had said. Finally, the Chassam Sofer in our tshuva, in our sugya, also asks a very basic question. How do we reconcile this whole phenomenon of not asking the Rav, except for the Masechta that he's in, with the statement that the Gemara says later on, Adaf Kuf Yud Dalet Amin Aleph, Ezeu Talmud Chacham, Kol Sheshoyel Enoyse Halacha B'chol Mokom Va'oimra. Who is a Talmud Chacham that you can import as a Rav? That's what the Gemara goes on to say. Someone who you could ask him in any area of halacha, and he's able to respond. And we know that Rebbe was a Reish Masifta. He was appointed. He was the Ma'or Eretz Yisrael. So how could it be that with Rebbe, Rebbe Chiya felt you could only ask him in this Masechta? This leaves Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank to draw the following conclusion. I just finished also a two-volume biography on Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, and this definitely is consistent also with his approach as a Pesach as well. And that is that someone who is a real Talmud Chacham, to expect him to be holding in Kol HaTorah Kula, that he remembers every Svara, every Tam, every Rashi, every Tesis, every word of the Beis Yosef, every Magen Avram, every Be'er Halacha, that is something that's very, very hard to imagine that every Talmud Chacham is expected to do. However, a Talmud Chacham that has been Amel in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's for a long Torah for a long, long time, he's someone who can answer the Halacha B'chol Makom. That means that he'll know what the Halacha is, even if he can't necessarily back it up with its rationale. Pesach Frank goes further. He quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin that says that there are times that the Tam HaLacha is Masur L'Svaras HaLeif. And even there are times that the individual might feel strongly, the Rav might feel strongly that this is the HaLacha, even if he can't necessarily back it up with a source, based on his knowledge of Kol HaTorah Kula. That is the answer to all of the above questions. The Talmud Chacham who's ready to become a Rav has to be able to answer and be able to say what the halacha is in all instances. However, he might not necessarily be able to give all of the tamim. And that's exactly what Rashi is saying. Lo sishayli klomar, as if to say, she'en libo mesechazu shema yizbayish. It's not that we're afraid that he's not going to know the halacha, but rather klomar, that it's not that he can't answer the question in general in terms of knowing the halacha, but the details, the cheshbon, you're going to ask him, you paskin like this, and you happen to have done that daf, and you saw there's a stiras haran, it could be it's going to take a little bit of a while for the Rebbe to get back into the ran. On that, if he's running, etc., etc., shema yizbayish. Then in such a case, we're worried not about the fact that the halacha is going to come out incorrect. The halacha will come out correct. However, it'll come out, this Yeshiva Bachar, the only thing he knows is these 5 dapim in Shas, these 15 dapim, these 25 dapim. Oh, he thinks he shows that he knows how to learn better than the Rav. No, Shema Yizbayesh realized that the Rav himself might not be holding in all the Svaras HaTorah, even though he's holding in the Halacha. So in that Masechta, fight it out with him, Adasof. In the Halacha, then you could ask him for the halacha, but the tamim, don't put the rav on the spot in such an instance. I say this is consistent in what I've been zocha to learn about Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, because Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank himself was a Talmud of the European yeshivas. He himself was a Magid Shir in Eitz Chaim when he was a young man. I'll tell you a fascinating story that's recorded that after Tzvi Pesach Frank was already saying shir in Eitz Chaim, he disappeared for 2 or 3 years. The story behind his disappearance, which actually created the bridge between Tzvi Pesach Frank and Zatzal and Rav Kook Zatzal, as recorded in this new biography by one of his descendants, was that Tzvi Pesach Frank felt that he had been doing iyun on many sugyas, but that he didn't feel that he had all 4 of Chalakim of Shulchan Aruch, Chalakha Lamaisa, in every single part of Torah on his fingertips. And he decided the only way to do that was to leave his job in yeshiva and to devote himself entirely to learning Shulchan Aruch. That's not the amazing part of the story, it's the next part. And that is, he came home, he informed his wife. The next day, according to the legend, if you will, his wife packed him, as the story recounts, his trimal and 1 change of clothing. They already had 3 or 4 or 5 children at the time. She walked him to the train station. He did not even inform anybody in the yeshiva in Eitz Chaim. And he went and he left Yerushalayim Eir HaKodesh. And he went to the city of Yafo to learn Torah over there, separate Poresh from his family and his entire Chabura. And then when he came back, he was Ra'ui Lahora. Of course, it was at this time that Rav Kook was the Rav of Yafo. And this is how the friendship between Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank and Rav Kook developed. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank said that at that time also his derech of learning changed slightly, and it wasn't the standard yeshiva style of iyun. And his emphasis more was lasuke shmeitza aliba de hilchasa, a little bit less with the chakiras and the diukim, and more of the broader systematic approach to Torah. I say therefore that Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank's yisod is consistent with what we had mentioned before, and that is the idea that it could very well be that the Rav himself, he's so connected to Dalei Chulchan al Shulchan Aruch and has such a good sense of how the halachic system works, he'll know what the halacha is. If he himself is not being ma'ayin as much as that yeshiva bachar in that sugya, that doesn't mean that he doesn't know the halacha. And therefore, to ask him in a different mesechta, the Rav himself always has to be ligging and learning. He always has to be living 1 mesechta, but maybe to ask him in the iyun of that mesechta, one has to be careful, kidei shelo yispayish. Should be noted that in the beginning of Hilchas Pesach, the Beis Yosef points out that the Gemara in Maseches Pesachim and Maseches Megillah that describes Shloshim Yom Kodem LaPesach, Sholim V'Darshim Hilchas Achag, the Beis Yosef understands that means that you could ask the Rav on the halachos of Pesach, and that you could ask him as if it's the Masechta that he's learning. In other words, based on what we said before, that needs to become, Hilchos Pesach needs to become the Rav's Masechta as well. And you could ask him again, according to Yotzi Pesach Frank, not only the halacha, but even the iyun. Sefer Tal Oros in his Hagdama says something interesting, where he says that the same applies on Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos, and Shabbos for Hilchos Shabbos as well. That is the Inyan HaMoed, and therefore you could ask the Rav anywhere in Hilchos Shabbos. And he says that's behind the custom as well to say Bameh Madlikin. It's Koveya, the Zman of Shabbos, as being the Masechta of that day, just like the 30 days between Purim and Pesach, Maseches Pesachim, and Chelek Hei of the Mishneh Berurah, is the Masechta and the Limud of that period of time. This Beis Hashem concludes Daf Gimel.